Well, a very good day to you. Welcome to A Good Word for Today from God's Holy Word. I'm Gil Hammond, and we'll be looking today in God's Word for His good word for us today. All of God's Word is good. It's good for us. It's for our instruction. It's for our edification, our growth. It's what God gives to us as our spiritual food for our spirit. So we need to eat of this spiritual food. Remember, Jesus said that to the devil when he was being tempted to turn the stones into bread. He said, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." It is the Spirit that gives life. Jesus said, "The flesh profits little. It is the Spirit that gives life." We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit today and the work of the Holy Spirit in enabling us to be more effective witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to God in prayer before we go to His Word. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for every blessing. Thank you for this time together today. Thank you for your word that your Holy Spirit has inspired and given to us. Thank you for every blessing, Father. Most of all, thank you for Jesus and for salvation that is ours through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, today as we open your word, we pray for your Holy Spirit to be our teacher. May the words I speak today, Father, not be my own, but may they be yours, Holy Spirit, spoken in me and through me. May it be for our growth and for our building up, for our encouragement. We pray that it is all for your glory, Father, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, again, thanks so much for joining us today on A Good Word for Today from God's Holy Word. And yes, we're talking about the work of the Holy Spirit today. Our last three or four messages have been concerning the Spirit and the work of the Spirit and all the various jobs of the Holy Spirit we talked about in the last time together. And what a large number of jobs the Holy Spirit has to do. As Jesus said, He is, first of all, the one who convicts of sin, and then, of course, of judgment. And then, once we are brought to Jesus Christ, and once we accept Jesus Christ and become a part of the family of God, then the Holy Spirit begins His more significant work in our lives, His more permanent work in our lives, first of all, as the seal upon our lives, God's seal upon us, signifying that we are His child, His property. We're bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit is our protector, our comforter, our guide, our teacher. He is the very power of God working within us. He is the one who reveals the truth of God's Word, reveals Jesus Christ to us. In fact, one of the principal purposes of the Holy Spirit is to reveal Jesus. Remember, Jesus' purpose was to reveal the Father. So we have the Spirit revealing Jesus and Jesus revealing the Father. So that is the order in which they work in our lives. Everything is manifested in our lives and through our lives by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the very power of God. So the Holy Spirit is vital. The Holy Spirit is greatly important in our lives. In fact, the Holy Spirit teaches us the truth of God's Word. So that's just a few of the jobs of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works to give us boldness. The Holy Spirit gives recreation revelation, I should say. The Holy Spirit gives the commission to us to go and be witnesses of Jesus Christ. There are the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are listed in Romans chapter 8 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Ephesians chapter 4. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, from the least of the gifts, which is speaking in tongues, to the greatest of the gifts, which is prophesying. The Holy Spirit works to sanctify us, that is, to grow us and to cleanse us and to make us fit for the kingdom of God. Remember that God's purpose is to make us finally just like Jesus Christ, perfect in every way. That's where we will all wind up, as Jesus Christ is perfect. That's God doing the work. We're not doing it. We're not achieving that. We couldn't do it. We would just simply mess it up totally. But God does the work in us by the power of God, which is, again, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us and then gives us the power, empowers us to be the spokespersons for God, to do the work of God in our lives. Now remember, the Word says that we are created unto good works. And then it goes ahead to say, for it is God who is at work in you to will and to work for His good purpose. We're first of all to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We're to walk that way. And as we walk that way, then we are useful to God. God can do His work in us and through us. And again, God's work comes through Jesus Christ and then is manifested in our lives and through our lives by the power of God, which is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is active every moment, should be active every moment in the life of every believer. We are led by the Spirit of God, and we are told in Romans, for example, chapter 8, verse 14, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And that is significant. That's important. Those who are led by the Spirit do the things of the Spirit, Romans chapter 8 tells us. And those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. The leading of the Spirit in the life of the believer is evidence of our being a child of God. Now, we'll be doing the things of the Spirit. Now, what are the things of the Spirit? Well, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and goodness and gentleness and kindness and faithfulness and patience and self-control. The nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, as they're listed there in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Those nine fruits of the Holy Spirit are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Again, John chapter 15, Jesus speaks of Himself as being the true vine, and we are the branches. And He says, if you abide in Me, you'll bear fruit, and much fruit, and more fruit, and your fruit will stay or remain until it is good and ripe. It won't fall off prematurely. Now, what is the source of that power? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit bearing those fruit upon us as a branch. That is the work of God through the power of God, the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is so critical to us. We are to be led by the Spirit, and if we're led by the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, we are the sons of God. Now Romans chapter 8, verse 15 and 16 go ahead to say that it is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, that bears witness with our human spirit that we are a child of God. So, verse 14 says, those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. And verse 16 says, those who have the Spirit within them have the Spirit of God testifying to their own human spirit that we're a child of God, and it is by that Spirit that we're able to cry out, Abba, Father. So the Holy Spirit is the very presence of God, the presence and power of God within our lives. And we need that Holy Spirit, and we should be walking by that Holy Spirit. Now, we need to also understand that there is an intelligent understanding there is a learning that takes place, for example, in the classroom where we learn literature or we learn English or we learn arithmetic or math or history or whatever. We learn it by our intelligence. We learn it by our mind. And we put our mind into gear, so to speak, so that we can learn these kinds of things. But let me point out that when we get to the things of the Spirit, the Word of God, we must employ something beyond our intelligence, beyond our mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, tells us that there are spiritual truths that must be spiritually discerned. Paul is speaking here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He's writing to the Corinthian church, and of course this is the Holy Spirit writing through the mind and hand of the Apostle Paul, and we might say the spirit of the Apostle Paul as well. He says, "Yet we do not speak wisdom among those who are mature. We speak of wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Now, this wisdom is the fact that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. This wisdom is the fact that he was indeed God, as he claimed to be. And Paul said, if you understood that as rulers, you would not have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. See, they thought that he was a blasphemer. They thought that he was a false prophet. They thought, I think they were helped greatly by the devil and the demons of hell in coming to this understanding, which was a lie, of course. So Paul says, now, if you had understood this, you would not have crucified the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ. But just as it is written, things which eyes have not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit who is from God, that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Then, in verse 14, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. Now, what's Paul saying? Paul is talking about the wisdom that comes from God. And Colossians and here in 1 Corinthians, we find the statement that all wisdom is hidden in Jesus Christ. The wisdom that is in Christ, the gospel, the fact that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Jesus Christ. The fact that Jesus is the door through which we have to enter into the kingdom of God, through which we enter to become sons and daughters of God. Jesus is the way. He's not just a way, he is the way. Now that's the truth of God's word. That's the truth that Paul is speaking to, this mystery that was hidden from natural man, because this cannot be naturally discerned. Now, Paul goes ahead to say that the things of the natural man cannot discern the things of the Spirit. In other words, our human mind cannot wrap itself around spiritual truths. Now, this Bible that we look at, this holy word of God that was given to us by the Holy Spirit, is full of spiritual truth. It is spiritual truth. It is from God. Jesus said in John chapter 4 that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Jesus also said that the spirit gives life, the flesh profits little. It is our spirit, our soul, that will continue to live long after this body has ceased breathing, is cold and stiff and decayed, but we will continue to live. The person that we are will continue beyond this body, beyond what we call this physical existence. We are, in fact, eternal beings. We are spiritual beings. And we need to recognize that, and we need to deal with that in the church today. We need to recognize that when we're opening the Word of God, our spirit needs to be in gear. Our spirit needs to be open to the Holy Spirit of God. It is the Holy Spirit of God that is revealing to our human spirit the truth. Here in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul is pointing out that spiritual truths must be spiritually discerned. Let me let that sink in. That's so critical. That's so important. You see, dear friend, in our Western culture, we have become so accustomed to the reasoning of Socrates and Plato and Aristotle. We are a culture based on logic and based on reason. Now, the Eastern culture, the Oriental culture, is much different. It's based more on spirit. It's based more on feelings. But our culture is based on reason and logic. Now, that's taken us a long way. The industrial age and the technology age is here largely because of that. But, you know, there is a limit to our intelligence. There is a limit to how far our mind and our reason and our logic can take us. It cannot take us into the realm of the Spirit. In order to delve into the things of the Spirit, we must do that by our Spirit. Spiritual truths must be spiritually discerned. Now, does that mean that the mind is just put into neutral? No, it doesn't at all. Our mind is a critical part of all of this. Look at it this way. If we use our mind and use our intelligence and use our logic and reason, let's say that we're using about 30% of our total capacities, our total abilities. Scientists tell us that we use only about 10% of our brain power. What about the other 90%? Does it get into the realm of the spirit? I suspect that it may. I don't know that for a fact. But the Word of God tells me clearly that the things of God, the spiritual truths of God, God's Word must be spiritually understood. In fact, it says to me that the natural man operating in the natural realm cannot understand and cannot comprehend the truths of God. They must be understood spiritually. God is spirit, and we must interact with God spirit to spirit. So the human spirit must interact with the Holy Spirit from God. Now remember that when we become believers, when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are at that time indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is placed in us and on us as our seal, in us, to enable us to do the work of God. It is by the Holy Spirit that we do the work of God. It is by the Holy Spirit that we bear the fruit of God, the love, the joy, the peace, all the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. They're fruits of the Holy Spirit. They're not our fruits. Now, if we try to manufacture them, humanly speaking, we'll be manufacturing cheap imitations. That's all. They'll be fraud. They'll be imposters. They'll be just cheap imitations, not the real thing. The Holy Spirit must bear the fruit. Love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, patience, self-control. These are fruits of the Holy Spirit born within our life. Jesus said, by their fruit you shall know them. Love, joy, peace. Of the early Christians, the leaders of the world, the Roman leaders, marveled. And they had the statement, behold how they love one another. Behold how they love one another. This made a distinct and definite impression upon the pagan world. The love that was demonstrated by the Christian. Love of their enemies. They prayed for their enemies. Someone was starting to burn them at the stake, and they were praying for those who were burning them, not cursing them. You see, this is motivated by love, the love of God, a fruit of the Holy Spirit within us. Now listen to me. We are led by the Holy Spirit if we're doing the work of God. If we're not led by the Holy Spirit, we're not doing the work of God. Remember in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus made the statement that many will stand before me in that day of judgment, and they will try to say to me, have we not done great works in thy name, Jesus? Have we not cast out demons in thy name, Jesus? Have we not performed many miracles in thy name, Jesus? And Jesus said, I will say to them, depart from me, you who work iniquity, I never knew you. And yet they were doing great works, at least what they considered to be great works, what they thought were great works, what other men were telling them were great works. But they were doing them in their own human strength, in their own human wisdom. They weren't instruments in the hand of God, through which the Holy Spirit was manifesting God himself. You see, we're created unto good works, remember? But it goes ahead to say in the very next verse, for it is God who is at work in you, to work and to will for his good purpose. Now, the Holy Spirit is the manifestation of God. The Holy Spirit is the very power of God. The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus Christ. Jesus reveals the Father. We read this word we call the Holy Word, the Holy Bible. We don't understand it, really, unless the Spirit bears witness to our spirit. Spiritual truths must be spiritually discerned. So notice how important the Holy Spirit is in our lives as believers. Oh, it's so critical, dear friend. And it is so critical that we walk led by the Holy Spirit. That means we surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We're not doing our own thing. We're not doing what somebody else tells us to do or our denomination tells us to do. We're doing what the Holy Spirit is leading us to do. That is so important and so critical. I am concerned that there's an awfully lot of stuff done in our churches today that are things of the denomination or things of men rather than things of the Spirit. Let me let that sink in. That is a sad commentary on our churches of today. But I'm concerned that that is the case. You see, Jesus said, many will stand before me in that day and try to argue with me and say that they have done great works in my name, and I'll say to them, I never knew you. See, they never had the Holy Spirit within them. They never had Jesus revealed to them, not really. They knew about Jesus, but they didn't know Jesus. They knew about him and had a lot of information at their fingertips, but they didn't know him personally. They didn't have the relationship with him. They weren't surrendered to the lordship of Jesus Christ. They weren't being led by the Holy Spirit. As many as are led by the Holy Spirit do the things of the Spirit. Again, in Romans, Paul points out that if we do the things, if we're led by the Spirit, we'll do the things of the Spirit. If we're led by the flesh, we'll do the things of the flesh. That's as logical as you can get. And yet, it is a spiritual truth. So when we discern spiritual truths, we don't put our mind in neutral. We use our mind to the limit of our capability. But then the Spirit must take over. The Spirit must take us farther than our mind can take us. Our spirit must take us deeper than our mind can take us. The Spirit is the totality of our person, not just our mind, but it's the depth of our being, the depth of our soul, the depth of our spirit. So spiritual truths must be spiritually discerned. That means the Holy Spirit must teach us. And that means that we must have our human spirit open to the teaching of the Holy Spirit. That is so important and so critical. We grow as a result of the Spirit revealing the truth of God, the spiritual truth of God to us. So spiritual truth, which means the whole Bible, must be revealed by the Spirit of God. How important is the Spirit in our lives today? The Spirit is critical. We see in the life of the early church here in the early chapters of Acts how the Holy Spirit brought about love, brought about unity, brought about an insatiable desire to hear more of God's Word. Oh, my friend, the Holy Spirit leads us into the things of the Spirit if we will allow Him to. Now, the Holy Spirit convicts a person of their sin. Nobody comes to Jesus unless the Holy Spirit convicts them of their sin. We cannot convince somebody of their sinful state. We cannot convince somebody of their need for a Savior. That's the work of the Holy Spirit to convict the heart of man. And that's the first work of the Holy Spirit. Here in Acts, for example, chapter 4, we see where 5,000 were added to the church in chapter 4, verse 4. Earlier in chapter 2, verse 41, there were 3,000 souls added to the church after Peter preached that wonderful sermon. Now, Peter, we see, is bold. He is speaking out. We see the apostles being arrested by the Sanhedrin, and of course, they had been responsible largely for the crucifixion of Jesus. So was there any question but what they would be willing to put these disciples to death? They threatened them. But the disciples said, "We cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard. We must obey God rather than man." So there is a boldness. Peter, there at the crucifixion of Jesus, at the trial of Jesus, was a whimpering person who denied Jesus 3 times. He became a coward, and he denied his Lord. But here in the early chapters of Acts, Peter is the spokesperson of the church. He is the one that is standing up and with great boldness proclaiming the things of God and the truth of God, which is Jesus Christ. Boldness, my friend. In Acts chapter 4, they are arrested and come before the Sanhedrin. There in verse 19, but Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge, for we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard." They come back to the church. They're released and come back to the church. In verse 23 and following, they have a big prayer meeting. Now, the result of that big prayer meeting is this. And when they had prayed, verse 31, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Boldness. Boldness, speaking the word of God, given to us by the Holy Spirit, is a sign of the Holy Spirit working in us and working through us. Oh, my friend, the Holy Spirit is the presence, the power, and the manifestation of God within our lives today. I'm so grateful that we have God the Holy Spirit as our convictor, first of all, then as a seal upon our lives, and then as our teacher, our guide, our revealer, our comforter, the one who is the very power of God to enable us to do the work of God as we're led to do it by the Holy Spirit. And this, my friend, is a good word from God's holy word for today. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel Radio.